Welcome to Scaling Software Teams, a weekly podcast about how to navigate fast growth without losing the magic that made that growth possible. I'm your host, Wes Winham. This is the sixth and final week of our community question series. Over the past few weeks, we've talked to engineering leaders around the world to answer your toughest questions. Last week, we learned how to speed up our hiring process. Today, we're going to talk about what we do after we've made the hire. We've saved the best for last. We've got a great team. How do we activate them? How do we onboard? Most of our conversations are about hiring or management, but we rarely talk about the important step in between. Onboarding is critical. The difference between a team that can onboard engineers in 90 days versus one that takes 6 months is huge. It's mind-blowing how much of a difference that makes when we look at our team's ability to deliver value. Because onboarding actually sucks effort from our existing team. So it's not just not a positive, it's actually a net negative. So in a three-month onboarding cycle, we have 3 months of drag and then lift. 6 months, we have twice as much drag and half as much lift over that same cycle. It's a big difference. Onboarding is essential to our team's growth and very easy to overlook. Who likes writing documentation? Here are the three things we learned as we talked to engineering leaders about their onboarding processes. Number one, we got to build the onboarding process that works best for our team. Context matters, culture matters. We should be aware of the industry best practices, but not be afraid to modify them. We talked to Gerge Oroz, an engineering team lead at Uber, about the process he uses for onboarding, and we found that onboarding at Uber can vary substantially team by team.
Onboarding is something that at most companies, it's quite specific to teams. So companies clearly have some centralized processes as well. But in my experience, there's a whole lot of difference on how teams get these things done. And that's a key ingredient on why things will be different. So I'll tell my experience on what works in my team and the teams around me in Amsterdam. But it will be kind of hard to generalize for a whole organization, especially one the size of Uber. So just putting it out there, your mileage might vary even within the organization. I'll jump back to about 3 years ago when I joined Uber, when Amsterdam was really small. We were about like 20 people or so, growing rapidly. Back then, the onboarding process existed. We took some centralized parts from what San Francisco was doing. And we also had some local mentors. So everyone who joined got assigned a mentor. Outside of that, that was pretty much it. So mentors pretty much figured out what they would do or how they would onboard. And the centralized resources, sometimes they were pretty good. Sometimes they might have not applied as much to when you started to work specifically in Amsterdam. People also attended onboarding in San Francisco and engineering specific onboarding, but this didn't happen sometimes for a couple of months until you started.
No surprise. This learning can be applied to companies of all shapes and sizes. We shouldn't cargo cult what we read online or hear from podcasts, although we should listen to the podcast, hint, hint. We shouldn't copy-paste exactly what other leaders in our company are doing, and we definitely shouldn't delegate wholly to HR. What HR does is not really onboarding. Instead, we should know what makes our team work well and lean into this. What are the things that we really need to do day to day? In a team where I have to take an email and turn that into a user story as part of my day-to-day development task, that's something we really want to practice in onboarding. We basically want to break down what it takes to be a productive individual contributor into its component parts. Like, what does a day look like? How does it start? What does it look like to read, to review code? What's a good code review versus a bad code review? What does it look like to run things on continuous integration? What does it look like to find the failing tests? Each of these little components, those are things we want to onboard on. This is the deliberate practice model of onboarding. It's one thing to say, go release a feature, which is great. We should do that. Then when folks struggle, we want to have guides and coaching for how they can do each individual component part. We can use checklists and early action to get these better results. Another common mistake is focusing too much on learning and not enough on acting. We sat down with Rado Stankov, the head of engineering at Product Hunt, to talk about how he has built an amazing onboarding process designed to help his team grow fast.
Basically, for the onboarding, I have this process of things the engineer should be able to do. Like the goal there is very simple. Like we do a lot of things which are very common between projects, and every engineer has to know the mechanics. Like this is something, in my opinion, a lot of engineers don't focus about. It's the mechanics of the work they do. Because a lot of times, for example, and mechanics one means something simple, like we are using a GraphQL API. And how do you create a mutation? How do you add a new type there? How do you create a form? How do you create a database view? How do you do a big database migration? How all those things are mechanical things, which you are doing over and over and over again. Yeah, we have tools and abstractions for them, but you still have to know what's happening. And if you don't know that, you're wasting a lot of more your energy of how to do those things and not thinking about the business problem. So the way I try to onboard people is, some people say it's aggressive, but everybody who I spoke with, like onboarded, they are quite happy with the approach. It's not like, it doesn't sound so intensive. Like usually I try to have them on the first day to commit code. Anything. Most times it's just updating the README with the install instructions of our application, because again, we don't hire a lot and people know how to install the app, but usually the new person sees something which is missing there. So I try to have them being able to do something the first day, like just to set up their environment. So because their environment should be able to be set up for less than a day, everything there should be automated. I'm trying to have them on their first week, they should have something user-facing as a feature, and they should present this on our Monday all-hands meeting team call where the whole company is gathered. Like the idea is, it can be a very simple feature. It doesn't need to be something big. It can be, for example, I added a hover state on some button even. Like something user-facing, but presented to the whole company. So because most probably this is the time this person is being introduced to the team, and it's good that this person gets into the habit. And also we do a lot of demos of the work we do to show to the rest of the team. So in this way, they see something works. During the first couple of weeks, they have daily one-on-ones with me, or hopefully in the future, somebody else as well, where I help them guide the process of what they're doing. So the first couple of weeks, they are assigned to a bit of more maintenance work. So they are just working around different parts of the system. And I have a checklist of things they have to implement. For example, create a React component, create a new page, create a new query, create like basic mechanics. So they actually see how it goes. On my side, I try to monitor what they're struggling with, what questions they ask me. And I keep them in a list, and based on this list, I either improve documentation or improve tooling. So they're actually improving the system as they go. And I'm hoping that after some of the process, like for example, during their first month, they have to remove something from our system. And I want them, like usually this happens around week two. The idea there is you remove something, like you remove a dead piece of code, remove a feature which is not needed. The goal for this is to learn that this is not a secret system. Everything is for grabs. Take it, remove it. We are quite open to refactoring, cleanups. There is like, we have recently created a roadmap of things which we want to kill. And do this because a lot of people are scared. When I have been in this situation, I go to this code base, I see this is terrible and it's there. I cannot remove
it. No.
And everybody wants to remove it, but nobody has the guts. And it just piles up and increases the maintenance cost. And by the end of their first month, they have to create something reusable. Like it can be just an utility function. It can be a component in React. It can be a Ruby class. It can be whatever. But they should have to create something that can be used by somebody else, so they get into this mode of like reusability. And this is like around 1 month, 2 month process. And around the third week, I start reducing the calls. And that's basically it. Like, that's how we put the people inside of it. And again, I'm recording I'm writing in a list of all their questions, the places they are struggling with, showing them what I think they could improve, and also taking their feedback how we can improve. Because a lot of the stuff we have done is organic, and I really like to work with people, especially right now we are hiring a junior person. We are in final phases of that. And I cannot wait for this person to come and start asking questions and be confused about stuff, because their confusion is an opportunity to improve the whole system.
A couple key lessons Rado taught us. Don't make our onboarding ad hoc. There needs to be a little bit of structure, and a Google Doc can be just enough. Instead, a consistent checklist for each onboarding that we can build on each time helps us hook into continuous improvement. We should not make our onboarding about sitting back and listening classroom style. Get people involved, get people doing things. A little bit of classroom is okay, but that should not be the majority of our onboarding. Instead, our onboarding should be action-oriented, task-oriented. Accomplish this goal, build this type of feature, make this kind of change, delete code in a pull request. That helps us make sure our new teammate is contributing from day number one. It can be a tiny help text change. Anything is a contribution. In the past, what I've seen best is the first task for onboarding is improving the onboarding documentation that requires development machine setup. That's something that's always changing, and it's a good way to get an early contribution. From there, having a list of easy starter tasks is a really good practice. So maybe if we've done something 7 times, but there's 7 more times it needs to happen. Maybe we're upgrading a version of React in different parts of the app. Those are great new user tasks, because we can say, hey, here are the 7 pull requests where this is done before. You need to do it the 8th time. That gives them kind of built-in documentation and also allows this new person to contribute. Number 3, don't overlook the importance of our people. If our careers page looks like 90% of tech companies, probably says something like, our people are our most valuable asset, somewhere on there. If that's true, maybe we should be involving our people deeply in every part of our onboarding process, our teammates. Here's how Gergay Oros gets his team involved when onboarding new folks at Uber.
So a year or two later, we just got a lot more organized. We still had mentors, but now mentors actually had some runbooks, tips and tricks on how to be good mentors or good onboarding buddies. Instead of people starting just whenever, we actually started to have people start on specific days in the month. So typically the first Monday or the third Monday, to make sure that they could actually start together and help each other onboard a little bit as well. We started to have a lot more local onboarding processes and resources. So on the site in Amsterdam, we would have some onboarding training on how to do certain things, how to get started, set up your environment, what kind of projects we work on, that kind of stuff. And finally, we started to have retrospectives on the onboarding. So 1 month into the onboarding, we would sit down with everyone, with their mentors, and go back on what went well and what didn't go well. So things just became more structured and more organized and a bit easier for mentors and also new starts. The two very high leverage things, first of all, is making sure that everyone has a mentor who's an engineer and who's in the same team. So just by having someone on the ground makes a huge difference. No matter what kind of centralized resources you have, how great online training you have or classroom training, you cannot substitute by having a buddy or someone who you can ask in the first day, your first hour, your first week, all the time about how things work. You can kind of jump ahead with that, and you just have someone to go to. And that mentor also prepares based on the background of the person joining. So if, let's say, this is a really experienced hire coming from Google, which might have similar processes, they'll take it a bit. They might not go into the obvious things. But if it's someone who's never worked at a company similar scale before, they'll probably be a lot more empathetic. So that's one of the biggest leverages, mentors. Second one is having a retrospective with everyone who's onboarded and collecting feedback, and also going through feedback with managers or people working on a site to own the site-wide onboarding strategy.
The basic advice here is to make sure every new hire has at least a welcome buddy and at least one mentor who are able to make them feel welcomed. Sometimes something as simple as, where do you go to lunch on your first day and your second day and your third day, can make a huge difference in the first week. Part of success is feeling welcomed, included, and trusted. Google did a study where they prompted new hires and their managers to reach out to several other people on the team informally within their first week. And the folks that got that advice were more likely to take it. And those folks actually onboarded faster and advanced faster. The result here is if you've reached out to someone socially for just a hello, you are way more likely to feel comfortable asking them for help later. Oh man, this documentation is out of date. What's going on here? Or when's the last time we upgraded this sort of library? This seems like a mess. And they can point you to, like, oh, that's Steve. Ask Steve about that. He's the guy. Those little informal information networks make a huge difference in our ability to be productive inside a complex environment. So it should absolutely be part of our process to form those little networks, or at least to, you know, cold boot them. So we've got two big chunks of onboarding. We have the task orientation. Can they get stuff done? And then can we bootstrap their network for them? If we want to be successful in helping our new hires onboard and accomplish these things, we really need to think about in advance. Gurge implores us to think about onboarding before day one.
Well, my one would do two things if I had it. The first one is to put it in people's heads that every single onboarding is something you really want to invest time and effort into before people start. So I'm guilty of this myself. I started to take onboarding really seriously after I had a few people starting on my team who just didn't have great onboarding. And I saw how they struggled in some ways. And as we reflected on, we realized, like, oh, wow, this was a missed opportunity. We could have had this person be productive in 1 month or 2 weeks instead of taking a month and a half or 2 months. And then we started to improve the process. Then people saw what difference it made in the team, and the mentors or the onboarding buddies started to take it more seriously. And as we started to grow, our onboarding became better and better. And I see it around me and everywhere as well. Teams who are having their first hires or managers who are having their first hires, they just kind of assume that things will work out. And then when they see what a big difference onboarding takes, they take it more seriously.
Is your team growing fast? If so, I'd love to learn from you. What improvements have made the biggest difference to your onboarding process? What do you wish you could have done differently from day one? Send me an email at wes@woventeams.com. I read every email and I love hearing from listeners. That's wes@woventeams.com. Next week, we're getting back into our normal interview format. We'll be talking to Doug Gaff, one of the engineering leaders at Zapier. Zapier is a very exciting company that's doing a lot of things differently. They're a remote-first company that's growing at VC scale without raising a lot of venture capital. So I'm excited for this conversation. Until next week, keep on scaling.